Praise the Lord. There we go. Thank you. It's an honor to be out here in the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to see everybody. And what an awesome praise and worship service that was. I hope everyone thoroughly enjoyed that. That was very anointed. Father, we just give you thanks, honor, and glory this evening. Lord, this is your service. And you have full rule and reign to move in any way that you so desire at any time. And Lord, we just cover this entire service in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your angelic host that is here tonight, ministering to each one of us every need that we have. And we just honor you, Father. We ask that you would have your way, and to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our teaching tonight is Getting Off Gilligan's Island, and this is a continuation of John Ramirez in his book. This is a teaching that Pastor Barbara had studied and put together, and she has asked me just to give it on her behalf. So this is her teaching from John Ramirez's book. If you're new and you're not aware, then John Ramirez is a man who served Satan for 25 years, and he had a visitation, an encounter from Jesus, and it totally changed and saved him in that instant. And for 30 days after that, the devil did everything he could possibly do to torment this guy, physically kill him, cause every known possible type of misfortune and bad thing to happen to him, but he did not relent, and he stayed with Jesus, and he has been ministering the gospel ever since. So there's a lot to learn from him, and God had told Pastor Barber to teach from one of his books, so that's the foundation of what this all is. So, getting off Gilligan's Island, John Ramirez says, in the 1960s TV show Gilligan's Island, Skipper and Gilligan and their five passengers sailed off in their charter boat under blue skies and crystal blue waters. No one anticipated the typhoon ahead, the storm that would shipwreck them on an unknown Pacific island and change their lives forever. Each week, the castaways devised a plan to get off the island. Not one worked. Gilligan's Island is a metaphor for the church at large today. So many believers are stuck on an island and cannot get off because somehow what started as a sunny day receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior turned dark. The sun disappeared, the clouds came out, the weather changed, and before they knew it, reality hit. How true is that when you first get born again? I love Jesus, everything feels great, and then here comes the devil. And a lot of people aren't taught that, hey, this is getting ready to happen to you. And then you get shut down. And this is what a lot of the church is going through right now. They became shipwrecked on their own island, just like the castaways, unable to devise a plan of escape. What is the name of your island? Despair, torment, unforgiveness, rejection, molestation, rape, generational curses, witchcraft, infirmity. The list is endless. You find no lasting breakthrough, healing, or deliverance. We were all on some kind of island somewhere before we met Jesus. It's just a matter of what's the name of the island and who's living on it with you. And this is what he's illustrating. There are three voices that speak to us. Our own voice of reason, right, our conscience, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of the devil. which one has your attention? Conquering your deliverance requires you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and learn how to maintain the spiritual freedom Jesus purchased for you on the cross. Now is the time to accept the gift and use your weapons. The power of the Holy Spirit, declarations and decrees, partnered with targeted prayers and faith deposited in your own heart. Let's read that again. Now is the time to accept that gift and use your weapons. What are your weapons? The power of the Holy Spirit, declarations and decrees partnered with targeted prayers, and faith deposited in your own heart. You can have awesome, wonderful, amazing prayers, but if you don't invest your faith in those prayers, believing that, hey, God's actually listening and it's going to happen, if you don't do that, it's not going to go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. It just sounds nice, and that's it. So we want to pour our faith into these weapons that God has revealed to us to use. This threefold combination, a God-given strategy, is his plan to see you free once and for all. It is time to get off the island. Castaways no more. For 25 years, this is John Ramirez speaking. For 25 years, the name of my island was Devil's Island, and on this island lived rejection. I had no love from my father, had a mother who was beat up all the time, lived in poverty, and cried oceans of tears. Thanks be to God that in 1999, I got off my island because Jesus Christ showed up in his boat. Many good brothers and sisters come to Jesus but never get off their islands. They have a great encounter, a powerful move, but they don't get off their island. They're stuck there. On every episode of Gilligan's Island, the castaways tried every trick in the book to get off the island. Whether building a raft or throwing a bottle with a message into the lagoon, you name it. Every human effort and man-made invention made it look as if they were going to get off the island once and for all. Many of us were cheering them on, and somehow we thought that that was the episode in which they would finally be set free, only to realize that we would tune in the following week to see the same situation play out over again. This is so true. We think, I'll do this new thing and I'll get myself out of the bondage. Been there, done that, doesn't work. We have to have the Holy Spirit. We need absolute requirement, Jesus, to set us free from that bondage, whatever it may be. And from the mindsets, the thought pattern we have that leads us into that bondage. We need him to change and renew and make that all fresh and anew also. This sounds so much like the church today. In our weekly gatherings, we have incredible worship and good preaching, but at the end of the service, many of us are still in the same place spiritually, still on the same old island, just like Gilligan. There was no sign of total freedom. Amen to that. You see a lot of people, they leave the same way that they came in. We're going to find out why. The church is depleted the same way Israel was in the days of Nehemiah. The walls are down, and the people are spiritually bankrupt, defeated almost to the point of being destroyed with hopelessness and discouragement. Take one look outside that door, and that's exactly what you see walking around, driving around, standing there in the grocery store. People are defeated almost to the point of being destroyed with hopelessness and discouragement. We've all been there. Leaders today need to take a page from Nehemiah's life. One man seeking God with fasting and prayer and a spirit of anguish. What did he have? A spirit of anguish. He was internally tormented at the state and the condition, the spiritual condition of the nation, of his fellow brothers and sisters. That is not necessarily a bad thing to have. God wants to see a spirit of anguish that cries out to him. Sometimes you'll go through that on purpose from God to get you to that place where you honestly, genuinely seek him and cry out to him. It's not always the devil. I see what you mean by losing your place and trying to find it here. I'm sorry. Leaders today need to take a page from Nehemiah's life. One man seeking God with fasting and prayer in a spirit of anguish. Instead, many leaders today are busy fulfilling the flesh and seeking the inventions of man instead of seeking God to help people get off the island. The castaways on Gilligan's Island heard many voices sharing ideas, but no one had the right idea. What you are doing may be a good thing, but is it a God thing? There's a difference. Think about it. Today in the church at large, we have failed to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for God's people. John Ramirez speaking. I get 15,000 email messages a year, and I call them the cries of the church. Sometimes I feel like Nehemiah, with the spirit of anguish for God's people, who are my brothers and sisters that I truly love with all my heart. That's part of the problem with the body of Christ. We don't love our brothers and sisters, at least not the way we ought. So the wall's down there. As the Lord bears witness of my life, I am on Zoom meetings scheduled for 2 hours that end up being 6 or 7 hours because I hear the heartbeat of brothers and sisters wanting deliverance in order to be set free, and of other brothers and sisters who want to know how to conquer their deliverance and stay free. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. A simple lack of knowledge destroys people. That's sad, especially when so many of us are equipped with that revelation, knowledge, and wisdom that God has blessed us with, and we should be sharing that with those who do not know. We leaders need to man up and hold ourselves accountable, including myself, to be our brother's keeper. Instead, we all keep living on this island that we call the church. No one is getting off spiritually. Week after week, month after month, and year after year, and our midweek service and Sunday services, we see the same pattern. No breakthrough, no healing, no deliverance, no spiritual maturity. We are in the same condition as the Israelites in the book of Numbers. They started their journey, but after 40 years, they grew old, but never grew up. Amen. We do the same thing. We do the same thing in the church. They ended up being spiritual corpses. Only 2 people out of an estimated 3 million, the 2 people being Joshua and Caleb, were of a different spirit and conquered their promised land. Many believers today are stuck on the island they call the church, and only a few conquer their deliverance and move on to the life of total freedom that God preordained for us before the foundations of the world. God preordained your deliverance and freedom. He knew that we were going to get ourselves into some kind of a pickle, but he already wrote down in our book, you will be set free from that bondage, and you will go and do the things that I've been telling you for however long that you're going to do. It's already written down. But like we talked about earlier, are we pouring our faith into those prophetic words and statements that God gives to us? Are we believing what he's telling us? Or are we just looking at the circumstances? You know, we have to move beyond what's right in front of us, is what I'm getting at, and believe what God says, even if it doesn't look like it's happening. Even if you look through the James Webb Space Telescope and you still can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, if God said it's there, it is there. We have to believe that. The face of God. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 25, reread these astounding words. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I believe that most of us in the church had the right intentions, but we have let the devil sidetrack us because while we may be seeking God's way, we are not seeking his face. There is a difference. And I didn't even realize that until just this second. There is a difference. Like we said earlier, you might be doing a good thing, but is it a God thing? Are you seeking God's face for the personal revelation and insight that God, something that God wants you to be doing in that moment? Or are you just thinking of something good to do because you just know it's a good thing to do? There's a difference. It's not that it's bad. It's just there's a difference when you're taking time to seek God for personal instruction, and then you hear him, and a lot of people hear God, but who actually obeys and starts doing what they heard God tell them do? So that's a thing too. We will never get off the island because instead of seeking him, we have created a religion with a New Age Jesus. This is a big thing nowadays. A New Age Jesus, a powerless Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 says, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you receive, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. Conquering your deliverance means maintaining the opportunity of spiritual freedom that our Lord Jesus Christ paid for in full. We can get deliverance all day long, but what is it that led us into that captivity in the first place? Is there something we believe that's not accurate? Is there a wound, a trauma, some kind of self-defense mechanism that pops up because we don't want to be hurt again? Are those different examples that lead us into the bondage that Satan had us in? Those are things we should be seeking God's face. What am I thinking that's not lined up with your word? What am I believing that's not accurate according to your truth? And then be open for him to tell us, hey, you're thinking wrong, Brother Brett. It's not exactly the way that you think it is. And by holding on to this thing and just running with it, you're getting yourself into bondage. And when we hear that, are we willing to say, all right, Lord, let's fix it. Let's get rid of it. What is the right way to think? And then accept it and move forward. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have taken my finger off the page. All right. He has given us something priceless. Jesus has given us something priceless. It is like walking into a classroom and sitting down and hearing the teacher or professor tell you on the first day, I'm going to give you an A. In other words, the day you say yes to Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior, he gives you an A. He's generous. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and in partnership with him, our job is to maintain that A. This is what you call conquering your deliverance. If your A has decreased to a B, C, D, or F, or however they grade nowadays, it is time to get back to the will of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to get back into the will of the Father. Whether you struggle with generational curses or besetting sins, things you think have gone away but keep coming back, or gateways and portals you have opened. See, let me pause here. When we sin, we open a gateway. If you sin in your home, if you sin in your workplace, if you sin in the church, you have opened a gateway. And it is very important that when you repent of the sins, genuinely repent of the sins you have committed, you also have to close the doorways, the gateways, the portals that have been opened from hell that allow the demonic spirits into the place wherever you sinned. And you have to get rid of those demons. Sin opens the door. Sin is like a butler standing outside of a door, opening the door. If you sin, I'm going to open the door for you. And he's going to carry all the luggage of the demons into your house, into your workplace, into your church. And we have to close those doors when we repent of the sin. Whether you struggle with generational curses, we've been there, or besetting sins, things you think have gone away but keep coming back, or gateways and portals you have opened, giving the enemy of your soul legal rights to your A, it is time to get off Gilligan's Island. These things keep happening because we're still stuck on the island. That's why we can't seemingly get out. We're still there, just like Gilligan and his crew. We are going to come into agreement and declare and decree these powerful prayers in the power of the Holy Spirit and with the faith that our Lord Jesus has already deposited in our hearts. So these are two weapons right here, the power of the Holy Spirit and the faith that Jesus has already put in our hearts. Those are our weapons. We are going to mix these together and you'll be set free. A prayer to be armed and dangerous. Say this with me now. I decree right now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, devil, I put you on notice that the Pharaoh I see today in your army of demons, I will see no more. I am seated with Jesus Christ in the third heaven. And I am attacking you, devil, from my place of authority over the spiritual realm and the kingdom of darkness. The Lord has made me armed and dangerous through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, do you believe it?
Yes.
If the devil were standing right here, would you say that again and mean it?
Yes.
Good. That's how we have to think. It's not a trick question. That's how we really need to think and behave. God wants us to have this so deeply rooted in our spirit that we fight the enemy, because that's one thing in general that we're not doing. We're not fighting. We say it now, but when the sin actually comes, when the temptation comes, when the devil comes to try to do whatever he does, and he's standing before us, we need to do the very same thing. God wrote down in my book, even in his word, there's a way of escape here, and I'm taking it, whatever it takes. I'm taking the way of escape. And devil, you're finished. Aren't you sick and tired of the devil doing the stupid things he does, constantly making you go back into the same junk? We have to stand up and fight. That's what God wants us to do. Here's a get out of hell free card. Today we are living in what I call the error of the church. We have told the world that if you come to Jesus and receive the free gift of salvation, all generational curses in your family and any spiritual open doors or gateways or portals you might have open, knowingly or unknowingly, will fall off automatically. I see this everywhere I go in my ministry travels. John Ramirez speaking. Many times people accept the free gift of salvation and ask Jesus to be in charge of their lives. They assumed the battle was over and that by praying the sinner's prayer, they have their get out of hell free card. Nope. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. When you receive Jesus into your life, you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your spirit man, boom, instantly made whole and brand new. It's connected to God. You can hear God. You can do all these things through the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. But your soul, which is what the enemy attacks, your mind, will, and emotions, is still in bondage. Unless God wants to just instantly set somebody free. He does do that. He can do that. But if you're not in that category, you're going to have to work to get your soul set free from the generational curses, from the bondages, from the sin. There's even things in your atmosphere that can vex your soul. And these are all things. Your spirit can be broken. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. Your spirit can be broken, and it needs to be healed. It needs to be restored. This is why it's so important to always seek God's face for that personal level of instruction of, you know, what's going on with me personally, God, and talk with him and communicate that. Believers need to, but in actuality, the battle has just begun. When you get saved and born again, the battle's just begun. This is a kind of mindset that many in the church have contaminated the believer with, only to realize later that the real battle was just beginning. Believers need to get prepared and equipped because the enemy plays for keeps. Amen. He plays for keeps. When the church fails to break, destroy, and dismantle the spiritual worlds of depression, oppression, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, and suicide, just to name a few, when the church fails to break these things, these spiritual walls will block you from having a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't break down those walls of bondage, it is so hard to have a real relationship with God. If you don't get deliverance, those walls are still up, and it's hard to get through. The big deception. The church at large is under the big deception that once we get saved, every stronghold of the devil falls away automatically when we have not even dealt with the first walls. Then we unknowingly build more spiritual walls to protect ourselves from the enemy. These are the variables that the enemy uses against us. This is what the devil calls spiritual incarceration. It's like a jail. You're in jail because of all the walls that you're building up. The church talks about the enemy, but never confronts the enemy. We lack spiritual warfare tactics, and spiritual warfare training, and we also lack understanding of the arsenals of heaven because we do not have the faith to confront the devil. Me personally, there's been times that I'm just in a state, say, for example, you're beaten down, you're going through this dumb thing over and over, you just lose that fire, so to speak. And then there's an opportunity to cast the devil out, to confront him about whatever he's doing. And it's, you just feel it like fizzle out. Your faith isn't there in that moment to confront the devil. You just sort of put your head down, oh, just another day. We can't do that. We have to have, what did John Ramirez say? We have to have the weapons that God's telling us about, the power of the Holy Spirit and the faith in our heart to believe what we're saying, that it's going to have an effect. Picture it in your mind like a little miniature video or something. When you're telling the devil to leave and you mean it, just picture him shrinking down and running away with a super high-pitched voice. This stuff works. If you can see it and believe it, he'll flee. We use words like claim it, grab it, and receive it by faith. This is fake Christianity, which is equivalent to fake news and is far from the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Fake news is something repeated so many times that it starts to sound real, but it is not real to God. This mindset is unbiblical and demonic. Who did more spiritual warfare in the Bible than Jesus Christ? He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and cast out demons. The church needs to wake up and be the church. You will never be delivered or conquer your deliverance if you never confront the enemy head on with the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't do it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that rises up in us and confronts the enemy of our soul. It is time to get rid of the fantasy we are living in, because the devil is real and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But our Lord Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. He left the church here to do the same exact thing, but we have drifted far to the left, off the pages of the Bible. We no longer live like the real church, like the early church in the book of Acts. We have replaced the real church and have become the medicated church. If you read the book of Acts again, Ananias and Sapphira, they came in, they were just trying to, oh, we're going to donate this money to the temple of the Lord for this property we sold, but they kept a little bit back for themselves, which would have been fine in and of itself, but because they lied to the Holy Spirit, yep, that's the full amount when it wasn't. Boom, drop dead. Peter said, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Boom, drop dead right in the church. That's it. That was the early church. And if I'm not mistaken, God told Pastor Barbara that those days are coming back to the church. That's scary. But we need to be at a place where we're submitted to God, that we're using these warfare tactics he's trying to remind us of to get the devil out of us so that that's not going to happen to us. We medicate, okay, so we've replaced the real church with the medicated church. We medicate ourselves with false theology, false doctrine, and a New Age Bible. Have you seen how many new versions of the Bible are coming out from, I don't even know who these people are, but they're writing all these Bibles and stuff? What on earth? It's really wild. Like, I expect Rod Serling to come out and the Twilight Zone music to start playing. Like, what is going on here? It's bad. Demons are writing these books, passing it off like it's the Bible. And there's people that believe this stuff. Now we have created a new church that is called seeker-friendly and politically correct. We do not want the gospel of Jesus Christ to offend anyone or to bring conviction or to challenge sin in any way. The devil has worked the entire system against the church. So now, as a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, whatever you might be, you can't safely go out there and teach the truth of God's word without running the risk of being sent to jail because, oh, you said something that went against the status quo. It wasn't politically correct. You offended the alphabet people. Now you're in trouble. Come on. We can't be like that. I don't know how else to say it. All right, so it says here, many believers today, instead of getting their deliverance they deserve, are drowning in prescriptions and pills. You cannot medicate a demon. It needs to be cast out. Isn't that the truth? Now we have created a new church that is called seeker-friendly and politically correct. We do not want the gospel of Jesus Christ to offend anyone or to bring conviction or to challenge sin in any way. Didn't Jesus say, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword? We make it cozy, comfortable, and easy for the people of God. We say, you can just come just the way you are and stay the way you are, instead of saying, come as you are and let God change you. We sell fake joy and peace to sugarcoat the conditions of those who come while they remain spiritually in the intensive care unit. And that's wrong on our part. You know, we'll be held accountable for that when we stand before God. That's not pretty. All right, I lost my place here again. We sell fake joy. I'm sorry. Make a decision today and let the devil know whose side you are really on. Either, I love the way he describes with his adjectives. Either you're on a cruise ship church pleasing the devil, or you're on the battleship church going the distance with Jesus. Most Christians are bunny hopping from one church building to another, looking for a fix to get spiritually high. This really happens. In other words, to be entertained but never transformed. I just want to read that again because it's so true. Most Christians are bunny hopping from one church building to another. Why? Looking for a fix to get spiritually high. In other words, to be entertained but never transformed. Haven't you seen people that, oh, I'm going to this meeting, I'm going to that meeting, and they travel the whole, and there's nothing wrong with traveling to different places and getting touched by God and experiencing different spirit-filled churches. But there are some people that are always going to these things, but they never, ever change. They're never transformed or truly touched by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's what he's referring to here. We are losing the battle as ministers and leaving our brothers and sisters wounded on the battlefield. Call me Mr. Monopoly, because I have your get-out-of-jail-free card. I want to help get you out of a fake relationship with Jesus and bring you into a real relationship with him. Here is the resume of an ex-murderer who became the great Apostle Paul. What would your resume say, or what would you want it to say about you? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. I tell you again, no one should think that I am a fool, but if you think I am a fool, then accept me as you would accept a fool. Then I can boast a little too, but I'm not talking the way the Lord would talk. I am boasting like a fool. Others are boasting about their lives in the world, so I will boast too. You are wise, so you will gladly be patient with fools. I say this because you are even patient with someone who forces you to do things and uses you. You are patient with those who trick you or think they are better than you or hit you in the face. I am ashamed to say it, but we were too weak to do such things to you. But if anyone dares to boast, I will too. I'm talking like a fool. This is Paul writing his letter to the church. He's doing this a certain way. Are those people Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they from Abraham's family? So am I. Are they serving Christ? I am serving him more. I am crazy to talk like this. I have worked much harder than they have. I have been in listen to what Paul's going through. I have been in prison more often. I have been hurt more in beatings. I have been near death many times. 5 times the Jews have given me their punishment of 39 lashes with a whip. 3 different times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was almost killed with rocks. 3 times I was in ships that were wrecked. And 1 of those times I spent the night and the next day in the sea. In my constant traveling, I have been in danger from rivers, from thieves, from my own people, and from people who are not Jews. I have been in danger in cities, in places where no one lives, and on the sea. And I have been in danger from people who pretend to be believers but are not. I have done hard and tiring work, and many times I did not sleep. I have been hungry and thirsty. Many times I have been without food. I have been cold and without clothes. And there are many other problems. One of these is the care I have for all the churches. I worry about, he went through all that, and he's still primarily concerned about the people in the church, their well-being, their safety, their comfort, their needs. I worry about each group of believers every day. I feel weak every time another person is weak. I feel deeply upset every time another person is led into sin. If I must boast, I will boast about the things that show I am weak. God knows that I am not lying. He is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, and he is to be praised forever. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas wanted to arrest me, so he put guards around the city. But some friends put me in a basket. Then they put the basket through a hole in the wall and lowered me down, so I escaped from the governor. He didn't have any peace or any rest when he received Jesus into his life. So part of what we can take away from that is, what do we expect for ourselves? It's not going to be a rose garden. Stay hungry, stay thirsty. I would like to share a word from my resume. This is John Ramirez speaking. I learned from the very beginning of my Christian walk not to settle for a mediocre church of our Lord Jesus Christ. In my earlier walk with the Lord, I started with the church community that was on fire. Later, it lost its flame. I cried out to God, "Is this what you have for me? Mediocre Christianity? You should have left me where I was as a devil worshiper." See his expectation of God moving in the church? And if it even just got a little bit stale, he was like, what is this? Is this all you really have? That's his internal drive, his hunger and thirst for God talking. The words of Psalm chapter 42, verse 7 spoke of my heart. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. That is how I felt when that precious church lost its fire and I was left in the middle of nowhere. Sometime later, the Lord sent me to Times Square Church, where I had the honor to meet Pastor David Wilkerson and also be mentored by him. To my surprise, I had an opportunity to meet Nikki Cruz, one of the greatest evangelists of our time, and he has inspired my life greatly. I thank God for his ministry. The list goes on of the incredible blessings that the Lord has blessed me with. On the other side of my resume is a story of pain and betrayal from the brothers and sisters in the church against me. This happens way more than anybody wants to admit. On the other side of my resume is a story of pain and betrayal from brothers and sisters in the church against me. I went hungry for 3 years, lost my finances, lost my home, and on top of that, I later lost my eyesight for over 3 months. I was registered with the Commissioner of the Blind of New York State. To all this, I was still seeking Jesus, and I never gave up, nor did I ever give in. You know, I think to myself sometimes, you know, what if I went through this? Would I still be seeking after Jesus? I mean, I've been through some pretty bad things. We all have. But just think, would I really remain true and firm in my convictions if I was blind for 3 months? He didn't know he was going to be blind for only 3 months before he went blind. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know how long a problem is going to last when you first go into it. So there's that unknown factor. Are we still going to stay true to Jesus? To all this, I was still seeking Jesus, and I never gave up, nor did I ever give in. Do not settle for the spirit of this age. When the whispers of the enemy came in the night that I was done and had no ministry, the voice also said that Jesus did not love me. I would stop the devil in his tracks. Let me pause there. The devil, if he hasn't already, will come to you and tell you you're finished at the hardest part of your life. When you are weakest, he will slip in and tell you this is it. You've done something to end up here going through this, and it's just bombarding your mind with all this garbage. Don't listen to it. If you really weren't going to make it, I'm sure God would have made a way to tell you. And if he didn't tell you, then you're still going to make it. Just keep going forward and fight. The voice also said that Jesus did not love me. I would stop the devil. That's the devil right there. And he would say to him, I promise you that I will have the last laugh. I will still trust in him who has called me from the place of death into his marvelous light. Listen to what John Ramirez says. I was bleeding spiritually, left for dead on the side of the road, and could not afford a meal at a restaurant. But I refused to surrender my peace and joy and trust in the Lord. Peace and joy. If the enemy can steal your peace, if he can steal your joy, that's it. It's all downhill from there, like tumbling, can't control what you're smashing into, kind of downhill. Don't let him steal your peace or your joy. That's your strength. I did not settle for a New Age Jesus, and I did not sit in a dead church. I did not buy into fake theology or false doctrine of come to Jesus and everything will be peaches and cream. Believing that all the devil-worshipping ceremonies and contracts would automatically fall off me. Remember, he was into that. I came dirty and filthy spiritually. I came as I was and allowed the hand of God to transform me. I took the narrow road that leads to life. I rested on the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. This can be your story today. And Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It is time to stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Get off the cruise ship church, jump into the battleship church, and start moving into the purpose and destiny that God has for you. I love you so much, my brothers and sisters. The truth will set us free. Amen to that. The Holy Spirit has really moved through this man and has given him a lot of wisdom. And that's why this is coming out, because this is what God wants us to hear. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, for your anointing that is here. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that is teaching us all of these things. And we just ask, Lord, that the teaching that Pastor Barbara had studied and put together would go deep into our spirits. We pray and ask, God, that your will would be accomplished in each one of our lives personally. And we just thank you for the blood of your Son that was shed for us and purchased this freedom, healing, and deliverance that you desire for us to have. And we just thank you and give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brent, before you go any further, you know, if you really read your Bible about all the disciples, even about Jesus, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you start suffering. The enemy comes at you with everything he has. And I, as you was teaching that tonight, I realized for myself why I have to go through all the things that I go through. And that's to encourage you that no matter what the enemy throws at you, you can make it. God has placed something in us that makes us resilient to all the attacks of the enemy. You will go through these things, just like Paul did, just like Peter did, just like Jesus did. But you don't give up on God. Somebody has to be strong to go through, I hear the plagues, to teach the other people that they can make it. If you're here tonight and you're undergoing a lot of attacks, God already knew this before he ever called you. But he's called you, I'm hearing God say, because of your culture, because of your background. And he wants you to be resilient to the enemy, and he wants you to stand tall and stand firm. You know, one of the conversations, everybody wants to go to heaven. And I at one point wanted to go to heaven too, but we need to take trips to hell. We need to go down into the very throes of hell, and we need to come back up and tell the people what they don't want to go to. We all read all the glorious things about heaven, but the Bible doesn't really talk too much about hell. It talks about heaven. So God has to use his servants to go to hell, to go through hell, and conquer hell in order to bring the people forward. And the one time that Satan talked to me for over an hour, he said, I know I can't kill you. He said, but I can really make you suffer. And I laughed at him. And I still laugh at him. But he does make me suffer. Right now I'm fighting for my life. I've gone through by the time I think I've gone through everything I can go through, he threw something else at me. But God is always there encouraging me. Come on, you get up. You can go on. And I get a lot of emails saying, we really thank God for you for the encouragement that you give. Now, if I didn't go through, now listen to me, girls. If I didn't go through all that junk, I couldn't encourage anybody because I would be just like them. Are you understanding this? So the things that God brings you through are your testimony. And that is what helps people receive Christ and stay with Christ. And as they'll start watching you. All right, Ruthie, just say you got somebody saved. Then they'll continue to watch you and just see how your walk is with God. Now, you either make them or break them. If they see you struggling and you keep your head above water and you keep on moving, they'll say, she can do it, I can do it. And that's what this teaching's all about. This is how we conquer, you know, and get free from the enemy. It's all about knowing who we are in Christ. And see, this is where the church fails. They don't know who they are in Christ. They just see, I always say and always will, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know what he's called me to do, and I know that he loves me, and he's not going to forsake me ever. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. So I'm just asking each one of you tonight is whatever altar call you're going to give, I want you to keep this in your spirit. That yes, you will suffer for God. You will suffer for him. But that's what we were born to do. But now the Bible, God did tell me one time, some are born to suffer. And he said to me, daughter, you're one of those. So maybe you won't suffer like I do or the next person does. But he did tell me that. He said some are born to suffer. And I think that some that are born to suffer are the ones who are strong. And then once he knows their knees won't buckle when he allows the enemy. Because, you know, God, or Job, you know, just like Job, Satan always takes us before the throne of grace and asks for us. And God wouldn't let Satan have us if he thought we were going to fall. Are you understanding this? Tonight, I don't know, do you feel tonight God wants to strengthen their inner man so they can stand firm and stand tall? You're living in a world that's turning darker and darker, aren't you? Everything is perverted. It really is. And right now, I just cannot stand evil. And I know that's God. I know God is sick and tired of evil in the church. And I know that God is dealing with that. I know that's why he had me teach his book, because it deals with everything that's going on right now in the world. So you go ahead and give your altar call.
I really believe, in conjunction with what Pastor Barbara was saying, that if you want your spirit man strengthened to get off your island, to understand who you are in Christ, to move forward in the way that God has preordained for you to move forward, then please come up to the altar to receive that understanding and rejuvenation in your spirit.